Morning, everybody. Sorry for the late start. Last time we looked a little at the Indian of Lechem Mishnah, which is learned from a pasuk in this week's parasha, Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. So I'd like to continue looking at some further details in the halakhas of Lechem Mishnah. I want to begin with looking at the difference between the way one cuts bread on Shabbos and the way one cuts bread on a weekday. A lot of us probably don't cut bread on a weekday because we have sliced bread. But if one would have a whole loaf, or perhaps sometimes if you have a roll which you're going to cut, something which is shalim, and you're going to cut it, so there's a difference in the halakhos and how one does this on a weekday and on a Shabbos. So let's take a look.
Yeah,
believe it or not, there's a lot that has to do in the weekday. Interesting, not so well known. Let's see. The Gemara tells us as follows. The Gemara is referring to weekday. It's about regular brothers. Our Rabbi, Mevorich ba'achar kach boiseh. It is correct to first make the bracha and then cut. It's rather than cutting yourself a piece first and making the bracha on it. You have this whole thing in front of you, a whole loaf or a whole roll, something that's shalim. The correct thing is to first make the bracha and afterwards cut. Not the other way around. And what's the reason for that? Because we know that there is always a preference in Hilchos Brachos, there's a certain minor in making the bracha on something shalim. So that it was once upon a time shalim before your bracha, that doesn't help you. The special attribute of shalim is on something that is shalim at the time that you make the bracha. So the correct thing, says Rava, is to make the bracha. You hold this whole loaf of bread in your hand, or this whole lach money out, or whatever it is. You hold it, you make the bracha, afterwards you cut your piece.
So on.
Yeah.
I hear a translation.
To slice
the cut. Break, then you cut the white. So.
Yeah, okay.
The last thing is, the five is not cut.
Yeah, I don't mean cut, it's supposed to mean
tear.
It means to, you know, to break into the
pieces. Yeah,
I don't think it means tough to cut. So, simple meaning of the Gemara is that you do not cut the loaf in any way whatsoever until after the bracha. You keep it entirely whole without any cut until after the bracha. However, the Rishonim come along and they add some details to the simple reading of the Gemara. So says the Rav, "V'yesh da'avos she'enom ritzim lachdech alehem klal," who, following the simple understanding of the Gemara, do not cut the bread whatsoever until after the bracha. That's what you would think from the simple reading of the Gemara. But says the Rosh, no, that's not correct. V'loi nofein la'aseh ke. Mishum. V'choshim ha'tsoko ma'ashim nis'achir lachtoi ha'lechem. V'shoyeh ben bracha la'achim. Says the Rosh, we have another consideration, which we have to weigh up over here. In Hilchos Brachos, there's always a lot of different details to think about. So on the one hand, you want to take hold of this minor of shoyeh, you want to make your bracha on something shoyeh. On the other hand, we do not want to have a gap, or too much gap, or we wish to have as little as possible a gap between the bracha and the eating. We don't want it to be a hectic. Even though it certainly doesn't ruin your bracha, you don't lose the bracha as long as you don't speak. But nevertheless, the chatzkila should be the shortest time possible between making the bracha and eating. So it says Zirosh, if you're going to start sawing away at your loaf of bread over there, you're going to have a longer hefzik between making the bracha and the eating. And as the Rabbah says, Rosh, you know what you should do? Chotek, one should begin cutting the ein mafrid ha-prusa, but one does not separate the piece. Ad la'acha ha-bracha. If you make a partial cut, you cut. Oh, it's a bit more than a nick, we're going to eat it.
So the shear is the nick, not something you can. If the question is you want to make as fast as possible for the bracha to eat, This is more than a nick.
We'll see about the nick soon. This is more than that. This is a real cut. You actually cut something, but you just, so you, let's say you cut halfway or something, you don't separate. And we're going to see in a second, the Rosh is going to prove to us that something like that is still considered shalim. It's all still there. You just cut, but it's still joined, and it's all still there. It's all still joined as one. So it's called still shalim. And you've managed to minimalize as much as possible, you've minimized the hexic.
The problem is that he's such a person like that. And so he never leaves, there's always a little
parts that fall off.
Tiny crumbs. It goes tiny crumbs. Presumably, you're right. It will always be that way. So it seems that he's not concerned about that very minimal loaf of whatever from the loaf of bread.
There are many people that you think is the one
that has
to eat as fast as possible.
All the time. I see. They want to give out to the others. I think they can, obviously, you know. And all of them will they? We're not the mother with as much. Why shouldn't delay? Why should give out as quickly as one can? No, they also have to eat a piece of bread.
So I would ask maybe the question is, you have to have a piece of bread that you have pre-cut.
I didn't think about it. I didn't see it spoken about. I hear you say if there will be more than one person doing it, doing it for many people, we should cut a number of slices. I don't know. I didn't see it spoken about. I hear the question. Now, how deep should this cut go? The year at least, says the Rosh, she's sorry, lachoyich na'at. One should make a cut, but the amount of the cut should be she'im yoichid b'pruso she'yale ha'kikar imot. Let's say you're cutting somewhere towards the edge of the loaf. So it should be such as that if you'll take hold of the smaller part, the end part, and would lift up the loaf of bread, the rest of the loaf would come with it. It is not such a deep cut. If you have a very deep cut, let's say 3/4 of the way or 90% of the way, when you're going to lift up that small piece, it will just come off. The rest of the loaf will not come with. Says the Rosh, where am I coming from? What's the basic principle behind this Rosh? The principle is, what is considered shine? At what point is it still considered all one, and therefore it's shine? And at what point do we say, isn't it so cut that it's as good as though it's gone already? So the Rosh is telling us that if you cut it in such a way that when you hold the small piece, the rest of the loaf still comes with, then it's still all called one, and it's still shot. But if you cut it further than that, such that if you grasp the small piece, the rest of the loaf just falls off, then that's already called essentially separated, it's no longer shot, it's not one. Says the Rosh, I'll prove to you this principle from a surprising comparison of both, but the principle is the same. From a place in the halachos of Tumah v'Tahara, it's asked the same question. And obviously, normally, if somebody touches something tummy, or if a tummy person touches, let's say, a loaf of bread, so the whole loaf of bread is going to become tummy. Right, he only touched this side of the loaf, the other side of the loaf also becomes tummy, because it's one. If you started to cut it, if it's two pieces of bread, then he touches here, the rest of the loaf doesn't become tummy. Or becomes a lower madrega of Tumah, if it transmits it, maybe this is the sheni, this is the shlishi, whatever. It doesn't become the same level of Tumah, for sure. It's not one. Now, at what stage is it called one? At what stage is it called two? So says the Rosh, he quotes the Mishnah in Tvudyo, not a line out of the Rosh, Rabbi Yehuda in there, Im oichis b'chotim v'agodl oile imoi, hareinu komoyu. Exactly this principle. But in Tumah v'Tahara it is the same. This is where the Rosh gets it from. In Tumah v'Tahara, when is it considered one? If you have a loaf that's partially cut. If it's such that you grasp hold of the smaller piece and the rest of the loaf comes with it, it's called one, and the Tumah is transmitted to the whole loaf. And if not, if it will separate, then it's considered two. That's where the Rosh gets it from. Yeah, you're right. It will make a difference on the size of the loaf and the size of the piece. Yeah, it will be each color, each loaf, the feet in yellow.
So you have to do a
humbug calculation. Yeah, so it's difficult. We're going to see in a second. And this point makes a difference to the shot. So far, this is all talking about the weekday. This is the weekday. So I guess you would have to be on the safe side and cut less rather than more. But if you do cut more, you know, it's not the end of the world. So you've lost the mind of it being shalom. So the chatchila that it should be shalom, you haven't lost it. So it's not shalom. A lot of times we anyway take a slice of bread. We take a whole one. So if you have a whole one, the idea is make a broth on the whole one, not called whole. So you've cut it to this extent. If you by mistake you cut too much. So it's not shalom, so too bad. This is all for the weekday.
And this depends on the type of bread.
Depends on the type of bread, on the size of the bread, etc. Right. Yes, that's on. Correct. Now all this is the week then. This is how it's Paskin, these are lots of Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and there are lots of Suda of the week then. How long do we show you when they say that all this is on the week then? Odlam, the Shabbat, Mokhoi Lahat. This is now the Mokhoi, the third thing down on the sheets. The Mokhoi, one of the earlier Shoydim. Omer b'Shabbos nothing lahachmi. On Shabbos it is correct not to do this. Min lachmi koydim shetich la'abrocha. One should not cut into the loaf. At least not in this fashion. You'll see in a minute what we do. But not in this fashion. One should not make a real cut into the loaf of bread. Why? For exactly the point that was just now brought up. She'im yatzeis koydim. If you would start doing this, Shemot Tikolatzma, so perhaps he'll cut too far. He'll cut to the extent that it would come off. But also, yeah, the Lecha Mishnah. Then you've lost something. Then you don't have Lecha Mishnah anymore. It's not very well on the weekday, as we said a second ago. So the one thing, so it's not Shalim anymore, so it's not Shalim. If I'm kidding, it wasn't to be Shalim. You tried to be your best, but if not, it's not. But on Shabbos, if you're going to make a mistake and you'll cut too far, then you don't have Lecha Mishnah anymore. So there's the monster. On Shabbos, we don't do this. And indeed, this is Paskind in Shulchan. So on Shabbos, we don't do like this. What do we instead do? This is the last thing before the line of the Shabbos speaks to that. Instead, on Shabbos, we make simply a nick in the bread. Now, the point of that, as was brought before, is it doesn't really save very much time making a nick in the bread. It's not like this cut. But
you spend more time looking for the nick
there. I think it really comes from a time, it's not really so appropriate nowadays. It comes from a time when different parts of the bread were baked more evenly and less evenly, and it's correct to start cutting from the place which is the best baked. And so, in addition to the time it takes to cut, you also have to take time to choose where you're going to start from. So at least that is saved by already choosing the spot. You start in advance, yeah. By making the mix beforehand. So that would be a car lot saved. But having said that, let's just understand a little further. Well, I shouldn't think. So on Shabbos we're saying you make a nick. And what happens if your nick goes a little deeper than a nick? A little deeper.
You
don't have a choice, yeah?
Only to cut the point edge, right?
You
start choosing right edge or left edge?
Yeah.
The burnt part is in the middle, not on the
edge.
No,
it's not
so
good.
I'm not sure what that's about.
What?
The difference between cutting in the middle and cutting the edge. What's the reason to cut in the middle? It's because of what we said the other time. We need to cut a big piece.
The
best piece.
Usually.
The side is a bit.
Yeah,
it's too crafty.
No, I mean, I knew that since this is a part we don't need. I grabbed
the
one that's.
Is it
the
most common
that you should
take
the bigger piece?
Well, the Gemara says that
they're
a very tough, a very big piece on
the top of the chapel.
The middle, bigger piece is right in the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe. Now, let's just come back to one point. If your original nick will go deeper than the nick, well, I shouldn't think there's any problem in that. So we understood till now that the chala is still called sholim. As long as we haven't arrived at the stage where if you grab hold of one piece, the rest of the chala falls off. It's still called sholim. We just don't ideally do that in case you'll cut too far. If you do a little bit more than a nick and you go a bit deeper, doesn't matter, your chala is still called a sholim. You don't have to run to the kitchen to bring a different one. It's still called sholim and it's still perfectly good for Lecha Mishnah as long as you didn't go so deep that if you grab one piece, the rest of it falls off, which is very unlikely. Okay, now I'd like to turn to another very fascinating subject, which is what will be in a situation, let's say in a house where there's little children, or somebody has grandchildren out for Shabbos. So what happens if you wake up on Shabbos morning, and you find the two-year-old sitting on the counter, there's your bag of colours for Shabbos lunch and Shabbos shoes, and he's grasped one end of the colour, and he's broken it off. So now, your colour is in two pieces. So, obviously, one idea is you go and borrow a few rolls from the neighbor, you take out some muscles or something. But is there anything else one can do? So, you're fascinating discussion over here. Yeah. Not glue, but something similar.
So,
I talk about
two things.
What? Yeah, nothing's changed. So, there's a Gemara in Eruvin, which is discussing a different subject. But the Gemara in Eruvin is talking about when we make an Eruv. So we have to collect bread from all the people in the chotzer. So a simple Eruv in the time of Chazal, we have a chotzer, which has gone in a number of houses. In order to be able to carry in that chotzer, they have to collect bread from all the people in the chotzer, and they put it in one house, and that entitles them to carry out in the chotzer on Shabbos. Now, there is a halacha, under certain circumstances, we can't go into all the details now, but certain circumstances where one is obliged to particularly collect a shalim from each person. Each person could be a small one, a roll, a matzah, but it has to be shalom. Shleima in krusot loy, the Gemara says in Irvin Dante Aluk, it has to be shalom. And what's the reason? Krusot like time of loya, the Gemara, why can't you bring a slice? Omer of Yosef ben Shol, Omer Rebbe, Mishum Eva. Because of a sort of hatred, literally, or jealousy, is people are going to say, ah, he gave a slice and I gave a whole one. We don't want there to be like, Machloek is called. So everybody gives a shalim, and that's supposed to stand as practice for everybody, and that's supposed to smooth over any possibility for Machloek. So everybody gives a shalim. Then ask the Gemara. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, Omer of Chisda, the third line of the Gemara, Omer of Chisda, Topra of the Kisum, if one attaches it together using a little splint or a toothpick, Ma'arvin Loibo, then it is considered shalim, and one can use it for the Eruv. I asked the Gemara a different writer of Tanya Eim Ma'arvin Loibo, your writer talks about this and says you cannot use it for the Eruv. Oh, this is the Gemara Loikashi. It's not a question, it depends. How do you deal with Tifra? One is where you did not do such a neat job, and it's very clearly, openly recognizable that it's just pegged on. How the lawyer deal with Tifra? This is when it's not recognizable, and you've done a very good neat surgery, you've managed to peg it back on in a very neat and tidy fashion that is not openly recognizable as being an adult, and then it's kosher and it's pulled the shalim for the end. That's what the Gemara says.
Tifra,
tifra literally means to stitch. And the Gemara tells you don't stitch it, you don't stitch it with needle and thread. To attach it. Not in tefira, yeah. Yeah, you've got to take care. Before you give it to anyone to eat, you take it out. Now, so this Gemara is not talking about like a Mishnah, as we said, it's talking about a shalim for Hilchos Eruv. However, one of the Rishonim, the Rekha, puts this idea and uses it in Hilchos Lecha Mishnah as well. The Joseph in the Rechai quotes in Kotov or Rekha, in Yesh La'odon, the Rekha writes, if a person has Shnei Chatzoy Lechem, two halves of bread, Ve'en Lo Lechem Shalim, but he doesn't have a whole bread, Yechabrei V'yachad Ve'et, join them together with a toothpick with a splint, or a shul dollar, or something else. Shloye in such a fashion that it's not recognizable. But it's dinner, it could be shalim, and now it becomes shalim. Now, people who Shabbos, they often the Chabrin, they're sitting with even on Shabbos, because the Muslim parents, Halloween, but Erevin, that's the Alice. Like we see in this Gemara in Erevin, that one can join the two things together, and it's good. But Hassan Soifa explains to us the depth of the Chiddush of this Rekha. Let's just consider it for a second. We do not necessarily see in the Gemara in Erevin that joining it together with a toothpick really in truth deems it, considers it a shalim. I mean, it's not really so. In truth, it's not a shalim.
But it's enough to be able to
in Erevin,
because
in Erevin, what did we say is the reason you need a shalim is to avoid Eva, to avoid hatred. To be something that appears from external appearance, shalim, that's good enough. But we might have said to ourselves that to actually really, in truth, consider something a shalim, this isn't enough. It's not making it really shalim. It's just good enough for something where all that's required is external appearances.
Nicker enough that it's a shalim. It must look like a shalim.
Right, that's what we said. Indeed, that's what the Gemara said. It has to be in such a way that it's not openly recognizable that it's tagged on. But it was done well. So it looks shalim. So it looks shalim is good enough, but maybe it's not really shalim. The Rekeach is telling us a big skittish that he understood from this Gemara that the bottom line is that the requirement should be shalim. And this is called shalim. This is shalim. Two things that are attached by a toothpick are called shalim. That's the chiddush which the Rekeach has been established. That is his understanding of the Gemara. That two things attached by a toothpick are called shalim. If they're called shalim for a loaf in Eruvin, they're called shalim for a challah in Lechem Mishnah. So the same thing applies. Let's try and apply this principle somewhere else. There's an amazing kiddush which is found in one of the Achronim in Hilchos Arba Minim. What will be if a portion of somebody's ekarim is knocked off? So it's possible. Now, what about if you want to join it back home? Put me in the principle as well. I don't want to get involved in the details of it now. What will be if somebody wants to join it back on using some sort of artificial joint like this, some sort of little splint, a little peg, a little toothpick, a little nail in between, not very tightly, such a way it's not recognizable, will it become kosher? No, you don't think so. I also don't think so. There is somebody who wanted to say that on the basis of this Gemara in Erevin, that it will become kosher. Exactly like the Gemara says, it's considered shalim, it's considered now, the two parts which are now taken together are considered shalim in Erevin, and the Rekev says they're considered shalim for Lech HaMishnah. So it's called a shalim for an Esrog as well, what's the difference? However, they ask a big kashuk. Again, we'll look to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, like we already talked, that some of these ideas, whether something is called one, it's called two, can be shown in the halakhos of Tumah V'Tahara. So, there's a Rambam, based on a thought in Chazal, the Rambam speaks about more clearly, he speaks exactly about this type of concept in Tumah V'Tahara. What will be if you have some food item, let's say, which is really two halves, and it's joined together with some sort of joint, artificial joint, a splint, a toothpick, joining the two things together. Will we consider that one, or will we consider it two? I.e., in Tumah V'Tahara, the Nafka Minah being, if somebody touches one side, is it one and the other side is also tummy with the same level of Tumah? Or is it two, and the second side is either not tummy at all, or maybe tummy at a lower level? What's the difference? So the Rambam, the top thing on the second side of the sheet, the Rambam says that in such a scenario, it's not considered one, it's considered two. Let's look at it inside. Clear shall shum. Pieces of garlic joined together, shalakum mashkina, echod mehen, two tommy the shiburi tar. When something tommy touches one side, that which it touches is tommy, but that which joins it is tommy. She'ein shiburi odom chibur l'choldom. Artificial joining is not considered a join. The chen esrug, simply an esrug, he's not talking about esrug of araminim, he's talking about tumah v'tahara. If you would have an esrug with a piece of sliced off, shen nitrash v'tatzvoy v'kushay v'kisum, which is sliced off and joined together, ain't a chibur, not considered joint for tumah v'tahara. But we see the principle that things that are joined artificially are not considered one. So, the Akronim asked this as a question. Hasan Sofer and others asked this as a question on the principle we've been saying until now. In Erevin we found that it was considered one. The Rekeach extended that to Lech HaMishnah. Lech HaMishnah is considered one. So what is the difference? So this question is discussed. There might be other approaches, but one simple approach which we'll just say over today, the Oruch HaShulchan says that there is enough kemina between Dinin D'Oraita and Dinin D'Rabbon. If in Dinin D'Oraita one does not consider an artificial joint to be a joint. So in Tumah V'Tahara, which is all Negev, all types of halachas d'oraita, this joint is not considered a joint. And similarly, once we take that on, that will follow through in Arba Minim as well. Arba Minim, which is a chiyuv d'oraita, we're not going to consider an artificial joint to be a joint. But in other cases, such as the Eruv, or even like a Mishnah, where even if we'll say, the actual obligation to have two bread is the right though, but the fact that they should be shalim is definitely not the right. Oh, that's a good shayla. What would be the PM and Esther on the other day where it's only the Rabbon? Or are we going to say that because the sort of ikar of the Mishnah is the right, and so we'll follow through on all the days, maybe it's a whole big thing. I just wanted to bring up the idea because it's a fascinating shayla. The thesis maybe it's another thesis, it might be different, but the thesis that would follow through. So when we come to the Rabbanon, then this type of chibur helps, and therefore in Lech HaMishnah, where at least certainly the requirement that it should be shalim is only the Rabbanon, that is why over here this type of chibur is sufficient, and therefore at least in Lech HaMishnah al-Kopanim, this is a halacha psukah, this is passing in Shulchanot, and Lech HaMishnah, if a piece of the Lech HaMishnah is detached and it's possible to join it back on with a toothpick in such a way that it's a neat joint and it's not openly recognizable as being joined on, indeed it is kosher for Lechem Mishnah.
Even if you actually don't join it?
No. No, only if you join it.